Welcome to the DK UK podcast. My name is Daniel Kelly. DK UK is a hairdressing salon based in Peckham since 2014. Here in the salon, customers look at art instead of a mirror while they get their hair cut. This began as an art project and has grown into a successful business. The salon came about as a reaction to living in London, which is now a very expensive and overcrowded city, not leaving much space for artists to show their work outside of the commercial art world. I trained as a hairdresser before I went to art college, and after several years of trudging through the art world trying to make a living, I decided to combine the two areas of my life, art and hairdressing, and hey presto, haircuts in front of art. On the DK UK podcast, I will be chatting to a range of guests whilst giving them a haircut on the themes present in DK UK, such as how artists earn a living, public funding in the arts, and what sort of length do you want the fringe? I recommend listening to the podcast through headphones and hope you enjoy the chat. Any likes, shares, ratings, etc. would be greatly appreciated. And what was that? Here comes our client. Okay, better go. So, Cara, what are we going to do with your haircut today?
Okay, so we're going to keep the length,
yeah,
but get rid of some weight.
You're going to grow it, keep on growing it?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. I'll work a sort of disconnected layer into it.
That would be lovely.
Probably like your ear or your jaw, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep the length sort of pretty much where it is. Take it a little bit shorter in the back.
Yeah.
Really reduce the weight. So when you're wearing it natural, it sort of just dries itself quite natural.
That is exactly what I need.
Yeah.
I need a low maintenance haircut.
Do you normally put any products in it?
I think I once bought some John Frieda, like Frizzy's curl thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think it does anything. Or I don't know if my haircut at the moment is just so bad that no amount of product will help.
Right. What I normally recommend if you're drying your hair naturally is like a leave-in conditioner.
Ah, how long would you leave in a conditioner for?
Leave-in conditioner, you just leave it in. Yeah, it's like you use it like a styling product.
Oh my god, no way. Forever.
Forever.
You don't wash it out?
Don't wash it out.
Yeah. Oh wow.
What happens is your hair normally, if you think about it, if you don't dry your skin, you let it dry naturally.
Yeah.
The water evaporates and it dries your skin out.
Yeah.
It's the same with your hair. If you don't dry it, the water evaporates and it takes the natural moisture with it. So it dehydrates your hair, makes it go sort of fluffy and frizzy.
Oh, that's so bad. And that's what I've got.
Yeah.
I've got fluffy hair. Oh my God.
So yeah, leave-in conditioner. Just dry your hair a little bit, put some leave-in conditioner on, and then you're sort of, it will keep it a lot smoother.
Oh, no way. That's such good info.
That's for free.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So are we going to pretend we're sat in your exhibition?
Oh,
or
yes.
Are we we're just going to have to use the power of recall to talk about it?
We could use the power of recall.
Yeah.
I feel like my memory is really terrible, but hopefully I should be able to remember my own work.
So we just took it down.
Pored over it.
2 days ago, so let's see where we can go. Do you want to give us a, can you give us a tour of the show? Talk us through it.
Oh, shall I kind of go to my mental mind palace of the show?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
describe how it was. Well, you enter in and on your left there is a Perspex piece, and that is Future Tsukumogami. And that piece was that one of the first or the second ones I did? That piece went hand in hand with a mosaic that's on your right-hand side.
Yeah.
That was Tsukumogami tribute. So that piece, the mosaic, was based on a ukiyo-e print of lots of Tsukumogami from the Japanese folklore. It's a really nice ukiyo-e print. And I wanted to immortalize them in a mosaic. Mm-hmm. And then I've been kind of thinking about that folklore, but doing like a kind of modern day take on it. So
what is the folklore?
Struggling. So I can hear my voice. It's really freaking me out. So the Tsukumogami legend is this Japanese folklore, and in the stories, on the 100th anniversary of an object's kind of birth, or when it was made, it gained sentience, and then however it was treated by its owner in the years leading up to that point determines how it will, how its personality will be. So it could be like good or bad, and wreak havoc on the owner if the owner was bad to it in its life. So it's kind of about like honoring your objects and not sort of being frivolous, which I think is quite relevant to sort of throwaway culture today.
Yeah. And Marie Kondo.
Yes, right. Very Marie Kondo. You know. But then maybe they would have hated Marie Kondo because she keeps throwing them away. Like loads of the stories, it's if you discard your objects, they kind of, there's this great story of them all kind of grouping together after being discarded in the street, and then kind of like forming a little object army.
Wow.
And then, yeah, coming back because they were so angry that they'd been let go, I guess. Yeah, so maybe Marie Kondo has a little army of angry objects after her now.
Okay, so we've got the ceramic piece and the perspex screen, which was sort of mounted on a yellow frame, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice and in keeping with the DKUK colour scheme.
Yeah.
Yes, what else do we have? Oh, we had the fountain in the middle. That was snack fountain. It was meant to sort of add a certain amount of tranquility with the sort of sound effect of the water, a calming environment. But also snack fountain was, what was I thinking about when I made snack fountain? It was still thinking about the Tsukumogami legend, but it was sort of thinking about, I feel like the thing as a whole was quite a beautiful object, and it was sort of quite, tranquil with the sort of water flowing. But it was sort of covered in rubbish.
Yeah.
So it had all the sort of empty snack containers. And I guess that was sort of thinking about how easily we kind of throw away and disregard these containers that were once sort of like, I don't know, objects that you would reuse, but now they've sort of become plastic and like single use.
Yeah.
So that was the kind of the idea of that. Nice. So it was sort of covered in these discarded objects, but then there were bits of it that came alive.
Yeah.
I think I've just muddled myself up in my head.
Yeah, so it's like an elevation of what would have been thrown away.
Nice. What else was there? There was, and then on the other side of the wall, there was another mosaic, and that was a new one. And I'm not really sure what I was thinking about that, because it was a new, I was keen to continue making these mosaic pieces that I was making. And this one, I started making it when I knew I had the show at DKUK.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, had the ghosts of the DKUK chairs in it. So I guess the other thing I was sort of thinking about, I guess a lot of what the Tsukumogami legend about is, I think it's not totally part of it, but I think it's related to animism. So sort of idea of everything having a sort of spirit, not just like humans and animals. So like every object has a certain essence to it. So it's kind of, and I think that's sort of relevant in terms of smart objects now. Except sort of furniture is kind of gaining the ability to think. So I've been sort of thinking about that. So that showed the ghost of the DKUK chairs.
Yeah, and it had little specks of the yellow and the hairdryers, sort of very animated. Nice.
Yes, and then what else was going on with that one? This wasn't sort of totally related to the show, but I've been looking into hauntology and using hauntological devices in my work.
Go on, tell us what hauntology is.
Okay, so hauntology was, I think it was, who coined the phrase? I think it was Derrida. I might have mixed up my philosopher, so I need to.
Any comments?
Yeah.
Give Cara a grilling. I'll make no promises
Yeah, someone's
coming. I'm not going to be checking you on that one.
I know. Right? I'm trying to. Oh, God. I only just started looking into this, so I'm like, oh, man, I should have brushed up on this before I actually started to talk about it in a proper context. I guess the sort of the main thing in it with it, though, is okay, so using it as a device, for example, in like photography, if you have an old photograph, they say that the distortion acts like ectoplasm. So it's like a kind of layer of distortion is sort of like, it shows a passage of time and the sort of nostalgia
like
and that.
Patina?
A patina? I thought a patina was like the outside of a pot.
Yeah, but it's like, I think a patina can be a texture over something.
Oh, yeah.
Or it could also be, I think, used to describe the texture of pot has sort of gained over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's built up a patina. Oh. So I think it's just about the sort of surface wear.
I don't, I've barely heard the word patina used, but that is exactly it.
Yeah.
Precisely. Exactly. Patina would be like...
I think the word just means the surface, but you can relate it to it could build up a patina over years, maybe.
Oh. Maybe we all build up a patina.
Philosophical ideas on DKUK's
podcast. I know. I love it.
Yeah. Go on. So hauntological.
Yeah. So
it's something about the sort of passage of time with an image.
It's kind of, I think hauntology as an idea. It's about being haunted by something that doesn't exist. So haunted by an idea, or I guess a memory as well. It was meant to be, I think, when it was, the phrase was coined, it's a pun on ontology. So I think ontology is the study of being.
Yeah.
And so hauntology was kind of like being haunted by something that isn't a being.
Okay.
Which I think, or yeah.
Like a virus.
Exactly. Exactly.
Timely.
Oh my God. You're all haunted now. Although I guess a virus is something.
Yeah, no,
a little bit.
So they say.
Ha ha ha.
Okay, yeah, cool.
That's so true, though.
So the idea of haunted, being haunted by something that doesn't really exist.
Yeah. So it's kind of, so on a photograph, it would be like the layer of distortion. That would act as ectoplasm. So it's like the physical remnants of a ghost or a haunting. So if you're like haunted by this memory, the physical remnants of your sort of haunting on that photograph is like the wear and tear, because it sort of shows, if that makes sense.
I don't know where ectoplasm came into this.
So ectoplasm is like the physical remnants of a haunting in sort of pop culture.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
Then in a photograph, if you're like haunted by a kind of memory, then this physical distortion acts like ectoplasm. The haunting.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it? I think I'm so bad at. Yeah, I'm really bad at talking about my work. Well, that's what I was thinking about. But then I've kind of done like a slapstick version. So I've been covering things in this like green goo ectoplasm, which is meant to sort of like indicate that it's an object that has been haunted or is haunted by something.
So that's the little ceramic goo.
Yes, exactly. That's the goo.
Ah,
yeah.
See, you know, I didn't know that.
What did you think they were?
I don't know. I just thought they were. I mean, like little worms as a way to bring the image to life in a way. Like how you've got them around the frame as sort of decoration. So I just thought of them as the work becoming its own living.
That's so interesting, because I feel like it did sort of give off that impression more. But isn't that weird that it sort of was meant to signify something
like a trace,
something dead?
Sort of
the trace of something not living, but it actually brought it alive.
Yeah.
They did look like they were living. They sort of looked like flubber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they looked very animated.
Yeah.
So for people listening, they were what you described them.
They were little sort of squiggly, blobby, green goo shaped, but they were hard because they were ceramic. But they were sort of were placed around the edges of the frame. Like a, well, they were like a frame, but it was kind of like, yeah, ceramic. If you could imagine a goo, but solidified as ceramic.
Like a chunky worm or like
yeah.
A sort
oh,
of,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You did a much better job.
What are those things that suck your blood, like a leech?
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
sort
yeah.
Of scale,
they did look like leeches. They looked like little green leeches.
Little green leeches, and they were sort of decorating some of the ceramic frames.
Mm-hmm.
And also creep crawling around the sort of section, hairdressing sections.
Oh yeah. Exactly, they were scattered.
Yeah.
Because it's haunted.
And then we had two videos.
Oh yes, the two videos. One was one was actually completely unrelated. It was a previous project, but I thought it would fit for the DK UK space because it's quite. What's the word? There was a lot going on. You know the one with the basil leaves.
That was here, wasn't it? Yeah. That
yeah,
was the
yeah,
one
yeah. That one was made for. Why did I show that? That one was at Fold, and it was kind of just meant to be this. I felt like it fitted for here because it's this continuous looping video, and there's kind of. It's quite rich, it's sort of content dense, so it's quite nice to sit and watch for a while, but it's also quite slow moving.
Kind of looked like a virus, didn't it?
Yeah,
flowing
it
across
it
the screen
did.
Yeah. Gained prescience as the weeks went on through your exhibition.
Oh, I know. Oh yeah, it was my, when did the virus start? Did it start? It didn't start at the start of the exhibition, did it?
No.
That'd be pretty crazy as a sort of top and tail.
Yes, we're in the thick of the COVID-19 outbreak, for anyone who's listening. So yeah, the video looked like it had a sort of like a zoomed in sort of virus textures floating over, and then there was like some screens and different depths.
I've just remembered what that was. Yeah, yeah. So that piece was, it came off the back of my degree show piece, which was about using basil. The scent of basil as like a sensory cue that was supposed to trigger this like neurological response. So the things in the background are it's a 3D model of a neuron, and then so that was kind of like forming this pattern in the background, and then you had the basil leaves kind of floating across, and then that work was also about these like weird sort of interdimensional fish characters I'd created that were sort of moving throughout this sort of weird landscape. So there were those weird like orange blobby things. Didn't really look like a fish, but I think it wasn't the original idea.
Yeah.
I seem to love blobby shapes.
And then we had the other video. There's another video.
Yes, the other one.
So we were so lucky to have so much work. Yeah. Great.
It was lovely that it all fitted in.
Yeah, so we have this other video behind where we're sat now.
Yeah, that was that video was part of a show called Sentient Home Devices. So again, it was again on the sort of Tsukumogami theme, but thinking about the smart objects that we have in our house, and it was sort of I've been thinking about how we sort of no longer have control over our smart devices because we don't really fully understand how they work. We don't understand how companies use the data that they kind of gather, all these sorts of things. So it was kind of, that show was like a kind of jokey imagining of what happens when your furniture has a mind of its own. So it was sort of all these like household objects that kind of aggregated and reconstituted into new objects. That was what that video was. So he had some sort of sinks moving across with iPhones attached to it and stuff.
And fridges sort of
dancing. Oh yeah, there was a dancing fridge.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and then we're gonna have to speed up. And then in the vitrine we also had a Perspex piece.
Oh yes, that was a couple of haunted backwash units?
Yes,
yes,
exactly.
That was that was based off of, although actually I think they weren't the exact backwash units that you've got, but that was, again, thinking about sort of the idea of creating a piece that was like with all, showing all the sort of spirits of the hair salon. So it was the backwash unit chairs, and they had a little spirit ghost coming out of them. Although that one was kind of many layers. I think I was sort of thinking about, so the actual backwash unit had a face, but then it also had a spirit coming out of it that had a face. And then the spirit was also giving birth to another spirit that had a face. I'm not entirely sure what I was thinking about. Some kind of meta spirit. Maybe sort of like levels of consciousness or something. But yeah, that was kind of like, that was sort of felt like quite poltergeisty as well, though. It was sort of all of the objects of DK UK floating around. And again, that one had the kind of ectoplasm remnants going around the outside of it.
Yeah.
Oh, but there was also thinking about those sort of perspex mosaics. I think I was sort of, with all these pieces, I think I was kind of